Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll congratulate Sam Darnold for a wonderful performance last night because it also led to a win for you and for me. It tightens up the NFC, and so I'm not surprised that Sam Darnold, former 49er, is sort of a talking point today and at the center of all of this. Sam Darnold has always been a very, very good quarterback in terms of arm talent.
Oh, right. Yeah.
In terms of arm talent, he's always had the arm talent. And in fact, prior to Sam Darnold coming to the 49ers, did you not hear buzz that the Niners, they like Sam. They like Sam. They think Sam is one of those, oh, he's always been locked with a bad team guys. And why don't we talk about Baker Mayfield as well? They were teammates together with the Carolina Panthers, and neither one of them could consistently get first downs. Look at them now. They're both going to go to the playoffs this year. Baker, again, in fact. I know his division is crap, but still, like, all of the sudden, they can play. Is that what we're going to go with? Quote, all of the sudden, they can play? Or are we just going to, like, this is what I would say, Dibs. Can we put our machismo away long enough to admit that football players as individuals do not make teams? It is not a criticism of a quarterback to say, yes, things around him need to be going at least somewhat well for him to function at his highest level.
You could look across the league throughout history, and the only one that might be a set aside on that is Lamar Jackson, because he truly can do magical things. Even if his line breaks down and his guys aren't open, he can make plays that most other human beings cannot make. But there's other guys on the list, and Jared Goff was mentioned before, and he's a great one. He was dealt from L.A. because that head coach and that system had lost faith in him, and they were right. Stafford came in and won the Super Bowl, but Goff landed in a situation with amazing talent and a really good head coach, a great play caller, maybe the best in football, and a situation that happens to fit him perfectly. Geno Smith in Seattle resurrected his career. And there are many other instances of guys who, Sam Darnold's maybe the poster child of it, where Carolina stinks and the Jets stink and you're seeing ghosts and all that. He comes here, he gets a year, regroups, and now he's leading a team that is one of the favorites to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. So we in this business and fans, we all get far too fixated on the quarterback. He touches the ball on every play. I get it. But if your line stinks and you don't have good receivers and you don't have good running backs and you don't have a coach who knows what he's doing, doesn't matter how good you are, you're not going to play great.
I also think we're talking as if Brock Purdy has just been disastrous this year, and he hasn't. He has not been as good. And if you have hesitation surrounding Brock Purdy this year, I get it. I really do. I expected more from him this year. He hasn't offered that. We can acknowledge that and bring that into the discussion. I have no issue with that. But my thing is, Are we just blind to the context of what's going on with every football team? And if you do want to grab a player or two like you just did, I'm cool with that too, by the way, where you're like, okay, there's a couple guys we want to set aside. Like the Bills are Josh Allen, and Josh Allen is the Bills. I get it. Same with Lamar to a degree. I would argue that, like, the Ravens defense this year, they're kind of crappy. They're kind of not
the Bills defense isn't very good either.
No, and the Bengals defense is so bad that that's cratering another really good quarterback who, by the way, is having a fine year. Like, he's playing well, but his team is also 6-8. So context matters. If everything around you is crumbling, and I'd argue with the 49ers this year, it did, you're going to get a lesser player. It doesn't change for me what the only question is. Can they win with him? That's my only question.
I don't have a question about that because they have.
Then there you go.
And so, I look at Brock, and you know the question is, who is Brock? Is Brock the quarterback that last year was top five in the MVP, or is Brock this quarterback who has regressed a little bit? The answer is somewhere in the middle.
Both.
Yeah, he's,
or both.
Quite frankly, he's probably somewhere in the middle. Last year, everything broke their way. They had almost no injuries and an easier schedule, and he was amazing. This year, they had a ton of injuries and a harder schedule, and he's been okay.
Oof.
And I was saying this to Evan before the show started. If they wouldn't have blown the Ram game, and they wouldn't have blown the Arizona game, and they're sitting here on this beautiful Tuesday morning, 7 days from Christmas, make it 8, and they were 8-6.
In first place.
They'd be 8-6.
Yep.
What would we be saying? What would the conversation be,
vis-a-vis
Sam Darnold? It would be, they have an inside track for the 4 seed, and you know, how does that look, and who do you want to face in the wild card, and would they be favored over Green Bay and Minnesota? It's a rematch.
With all the bad stuff that's happened, they're still 8-6 and leading the division. That's exactly
how
it
works
out. So for
me, it's tough to leap ahead to the offseason and leap ahead to the will they or won't they. And I know that's what people want to talk about at 888-957-9570, but they were a couple plays away from that not even being an issue right now.
Well, definitely. And also, let's back up and let everybody know what got the day going on this. And it was from Bonte and Joe on the roast. And Baldy's doing his weekly hit with him. And they asked him what you would feel comfortable doing with Brock Purdy going forward. And here came the big, old, shiny, kaboom answer.
I'd say I'd go flip him for Sam Darnold right now.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
So Minnesota, like, look, let's just think about Sam for a sec. He sat there as a backup all year. He learned what a first-class franchise, game planning, how to build a team. Like, he saw that for the first time in his life. Now we've got Kevin O'Connell, who's an elite play caller with a very, very good offense that has a real style to it, and he's flourishing. Minnesota doesn't have to commit anything to him right now. All they're doing, I talked to the general manager 2 weeks ago, Quezzy, just to play it out. They've got a quarterback they drafted. They don't have to give them top-flight money, or they could trade them. Like, I would be having a conversation with Minnesota to see what it would take to get Sam Darnold back. He's a bigger, stronger, more athletic, I don't know, but he's bigger, stronger than what Brock is. Or can you play with both of them at a modicum of salary and afford both and, I don't know, have a competition?
Okay, so first and foremost, and I love Baldy, but the scenario he actually throws out is not even possible or allowed. There is no trading of Sam Darnold. The trade deadline has passed, and Sam will be a free agent when the year is over. The Vikings cannot trade him because whoever were to acquire him would suddenly be sitting there going, wait a minute, now we have a free agent, and he's going to leave. So that's not even allowed. So first of all, you can take that sort of part of the conversation away. But let's get into the concept of what he's talking about. Because he even throws in, hey, grab them both. You could look at Brock in the face and be like, you have to play for 1.1 next year, and we're signing Sam Darnold for a 3-year, $30 million contract. Now let's have everybody come in and play in the sandbox together and see who wins. My only thing in response to that would be, gee, what could go wrong other than everything?
Well, it worked with Jimmy G when you put him on the kiddie field. That one worked out pretty well for you.
Did it? It only
we get
worked
a lot of shows out of it.
Exactly. And everybody's legs exploded, which is why it suddenly, quote unquote, worked out, because the last pick in the draft ended up being a good player. Other than that, it wouldn't have worked. And it didn't work. And it did lead to a lot of screaming. And the 49ers don't want to be a clown show. So I get where Baldy's coming from, but to actually act in that fashion, I would argue makes the 49ers a clown show. You would be a clown show. Call the Vikings and ask if they can trade. They'll be like, that's not even allowed. Get off my phone. Okay, let's sign him as a free agent. Bring him in here to battle with somebody who was in the Super Bowl less than a year ago. And creates a contractual situation going forward that's completely impossible. Now, if you want to just move on from Brock and replace him with Sam as a free agent, you can do that. Does anybody want to do that?
Well, you could do it by having Brock still be here and be the backup and make $1 million. It's kind of what Baldy's saying.
Right, and I'm sure that the locker room will love that. Players love that.
They already both were here before, and Brock ostensibly beat him out.
Sure.
And it was Brock's job to lose. I get that, but they brought in Sam as insurance in case the elbow wasn't good. The elbow was good, and then Brock was simply better than that. And the other piece of it is, Minnesota doesn't have to let him go to free agency. They can franchise tag him.
That's correct.
And I think that might be the way they go. If Minnesota goes on a good, deep run, and they do like their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, but they're not sure if he's ready just yet, Minnesota goes to the NFC Championship, and they lose. Darnold finishes off a really good year that he's having, and then they get to the offseason, and they think, well, we're still in a window here. We don't want to turn it over to the rook just yet. You could franchise tag him and pay him $57 million for 1 year.
A big check, yeah.
Big check.
Yeah, you can, I don't know what their situation
the same time,
is. But
if you're going to do that, this would be the time, because you give JJ a healthy year as a backup.
Agreed.
You get one more run, Super Bowl or try again, and then at that point, you would let Sam go, and you would turn it over to JJ
all
McCarthy.
Right, what if we whittle this down to what I think Baldy was trying to get to, which is he just thinks Sam is better than Brock. What do you think?
I don't think so, but one thing that he said definitely struck a chord with me, and it's the fact that Sam is bigger and he's got a bigger arm. Because what I saw from the offense this year, and Jerry Rice actually had a great comment on this yesterday morning, talking about what Shanahan's offense is doing with everyone bunched up close to the line of scrimmage and what that does to hurt Brock Purdy. He doesn't have throwing lanes. Brock is only 6'1", and when you have all your splits really tight, all the defenders are also in tight, so when Brock is looking to make throws, you've got a lot more people in the way. So that's something where if Sam is bigger, Sam wouldn't have that problem.
You want to hear what the GOAT said?
Yeah, I do.
Exactly what Dibs is referring to is right here.
And I think it's exactly what Steve Young said. You know, he got to reinvent himself. You know, it's like defense coordinators, they catch up to you. They know your scheme and stuff like that. And if you don't do certain things, they're going to take away the strength of your offense. So my thing is, we know that we don't throw the ball that much to the outside. You need to spread that offense out and let these route runners, these playmakers run routes. When you spread everything out, there's bigger lanes where the quarterback can actually deliver the football. And we also know that also Brock Purdy is not like a 6'4 quarterback. You know, with everything being condensed like that, he's not going to be able to see over that offensive line. You know, like a guy that's 6'4", much taller. So there are got to be lanes where he can throw the football.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting point, and I think all of us have mixed feelings when Brock does the jump pass that we've watched a bunch this year.
Right.
It's like, that's a cool athletic move. It's cool that you can still be kind of accurate doing that. At the same time, kind of wish you didn't have to do that.
Right. And the weird thing about it, though, is he didn't have to do it last year.
Right.
So this year he had to do it because the offensive line was not creating the pocket that he wanted to create. So I like Jerry's point, and he's playing off of what Steve Young said. I would like to see them spread the offense out a little bit more. And I mentioned before, schematically going no huddle, rolling him out, more screens, more draws. These are all back to the drawing board things for Shanahan. But when it comes to me and Darnold or Purdy, I still think Purdy is a better quarterback, even though he's not as big or as strong. Yeah.